The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the College for Creative Studies, it's the bearded lady himself, Professor Dave Chow.
You want to,
you know, help the listeners a little bit?
Long story short, I've just got a student here who's doing beer packaging mock-up. I just forgot to bring one into the studio just to test the concept. That's all.
So. I just picked up, by the way, after doing, you know, a spin around, that it's 8% alcohol by volume. That is some high octane.
That's dark. A little lower than New Holland's Dragon's Milk. Milk, I think it's called.
Dragon's Mead.
Yeah, it's like, it was like 9.5%, but I think it varies by season.
Truly is burly wine.
It's more like surly wine at that point. So,
someone who knows her Michigan microbrews is Professor Kendra Evans from Chemistry and Biochemistry. I don't know if you noticed the places we could go, because we just got back from the American Chemical Society meeting in Denver, bragging about, oh, do you want some two-hearted ale and whatever? It makes you proud to be a Michigander, right?
Amazing. Yeah.
Yep. They have some nice stuff out there, too. Fat Tire,
they do
which
have
my brother
some good
swears
ones.
By, is made out in Colorado Springs?
Or is it Golden? Or is it Boulder?
Boulder, somewhere out there.
I don't know exactly where, but I saw that out there, too.
Yes.
Summer Shandy.
Yes.
That's what my wife likes.
Summer Shandy. And now we're hearing the voice of Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies.
Hey, good to be here.
Good to be here. What's your favorite?
Whatever happens to be there that looks local.
Whatever's cheap.
Folks, this is a show where you can send us questions regarding anything. I'm kind of getting a feel for maybe some microbrew questions would be right up our
alley. We should just do a show at a microbrew.
That would
does
be
not
great.
Sound like
we might.
If you stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. Now you're inspiring me. Not only do we want to get back to Tom's Tavern, but there's a wonderful little joint in an old sort of union or Mason meeting hall in Ferndale called Embrew, where the only things they have on the menu are products, mostly beers, that are made in the state of Michigan. That would be a great place for us to do a remote, because they have a big old porch on front.
Where is that?
That is in the weirdest place, because we don't see many businesses plopped right into the middle of the residential area.
Yeah.
So it's off of Woodward, closer to 9, and it's a wonderful place. Even the pizzas they make for you use only pinconning cheddar, which is a staple of Michiganders' diets. Just cheese in general, really, but pinconning, you know. So I'm going to get back to some questions that we never actually started, so that means we're going to have to start again. Hello, profs. I was very glad you enjoyed my set of questions on the topic of procrastination. To avoid the next set of questions being on the same topic in another 30 years, I've assembled another set, this time with no topic in particular other than, quote, trivia I carry around in my head and checked on the internet to make sure. I will again let you decide whether or not you passed, as foolish as that may be, considering I want a mug, all the best, Nat Pike, of Kendra's hometown, Livonia, Michigan, USA. Earth is what's listed here. I'm surprised you didn't go all the way out to our nick of the galaxy. What types of timepieces have the least moving parts?
Digital
watches.
Oh, sundial.
Sundial has zero moving parts.
Yeah, that's right.
Very well done, Professor Chow. Check your sundial.
Check my sundial. It's cloudy in here.
It's cloudy. What type of timepiece has the most moving parts? Untold thousands.
Hourglass.
An hourglass.
We got Shinola on our campus. That's why I suck.
This question is worth up to 10 points. The following is a list of TV shows that have something in common. The fewer of them you need to hear before figuring it out what they have in common, the more points you get. For example, if you guess it in one, you get the full 10.
Happy Days.
Figure out two.
MASH.
Wait, we have to figure out what they have in common, not the names of the shows.
Oh. Right, right.
Exactly. Arthur Fronzarelli.
So for 10 points and the almost impossible task of figuring out the answer to this question.
Hey, you never know.
What was it again when you were like that many under par? We had the double falcon
Condor.
The condor.
The condor.
This is the condor.
No, this would be like the pterodactyl.
I can name that tune in zero notes.
I know. Name that tune.
I can name that tune in one wink.
The Simpsons.
Sam Simon.
Nope, not Sam Simon.
Darn.
Tiny Cute Dogs.
Nope.
Tracy Ullman.
Boston Legal. Okay, what do these TV shows have in
common? Is it a voice
William
person?
Frazier show, wasn't it?
No.
Hold on. Boston. Okay, who was in Boston Legal? That was one of the Simpsons. Kelsey Grammer, Boston Legal, William Shatner.
Diagnosis Murder.
Oh. That what? One guy from the white hair. What's his name? He had a brother. They were in everything.
I believe you're talking about Dick Van Dyke.
Yes, him, yeah.
He had a brother.
He had a brother.
That's so great. The first thing you think of is
Jerry Van Dyke, the guy who was supposed to play Gilligan.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Jerry Van Dyke, yeah.
He was supposed to
play Gilligan. I did not know that.
So do we get it?
Nope.
Oh, darn.
Knott's Landing.
Something in Common?
Something in Common.
Time slot on television.
A theme song
by the now you're getting more
song?
Into the wheelhouse. You're not there yet, but that's okay,
time
close.
Slot. CBS, Fox.
Nope.
Maud
is the next one on
Norman
the list.
Norman Lear.
Oh my gosh.
Sitcoms.
Maud.
It's not about the theme song.
Nope.
Is it the generation in which they were on television?
Frasier
theme
is the next
song.
One.
Seattle?
Nope.
Springfield.
Doctors.
The Facts of Life.
Oh.
Minnie Cone?
Five stars.
Five? Oh.
We're down to two more clues.
We're not doing well, guys.
Hold on.
Simpsons, Boston Legal, Diagnosis Murder, Knott's Landing, Green Acres, Maud, Frasier, The Facts of Life.
And when I said what time they were on, you said
we're
in
getting
the
into a more global understanding of what they might all have in common.
They never hit number. No, they all.
9-8 Central.
Nope.
They were number one. They're spinoffs.
They're all spinoffs.
The Kick Is Up is good.
That is really good.
2 points was the Jeffersons.
Oh, geez.
1 point was Good Times. Now, for bonus, The Simpsons is technically a spinoff of
The Tracy
Ullman Show.
Boston Legal is a spinoff of
The Practice.
The Practice. Uh-huh. Diagnosis Murder.
She Wrote.
Nope.
No.
Another show with an old white-haired guy.
Matlock.
Yes.
Knott's Landing is a spinoff of.
He was on that. I remember that episode.
Dallas?
Oh, my gosh.
Dallas.
Yeah.
Jonah.
Green Acres.
I mispronounced that.
Beverly Hillbillies.
Is that what it says?
Oh, Petticoat Junction.
Petticoat Junction.
They're all linked arm in arm.
Maud.
Good Times?
Nope.
Don't hold. That's Maud was all the way back. Oh, All in the Family.
All in the Family.
All in the Family. She
Frasier.
Was. Cheers.
The Facts of Life.
Different Strokes.
Drummond Show. They're
Different Strokes. The Drummond Kids.
The Jeffersons.
All in the family.
Also All in the Family. And Good Times.
All in the Family.
That's not what it says here.
Wait a minute.
That's My Mama.
Wait a minute.
From the What's Going Down episode.
This is a nice little button,
Nat.
I really like the way you put these questions together.
Wait,
Good Times is a spinoff of Maud. Which was the spinoff of All in the Family.
Wait a minute.
That's interesting.
That's what it says here.
Florida was the maid for Maud.
There you go.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
There you go.
And Maud was Edith Bunker's cousin.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yep. What do these guitarists have in common?
A guitar.
Strings.
That is somewhat unusual for electric guitarists.
Left-handed.
Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top.
A beard.
And Brian May of Queen.
They played a left-handed guitar. No, they played a right-handed guitar left-handed, like
12 strings.
Upside down.
Yeah, it's like the way they play the instrument.
Thumping it.
No pitch.
Oh, kicking they got it. That little thing that lets it spin around when you do that.
Even in Back to the Future 3. No. That little thing.
I don't know what it is.
I think we're all like totally exhausted. That guy, he had a brother. That's the quote of the show.
And of course, Jerry Van Dyke.
You did know, for the record, who I was talking about. That was relatively specific.
Yeah.
Of course, it reminds me of a classic Simpsons moment. The point I'm trying to tell you kids is that this guy had a really inspiring quote. I just can't remember it. And I can't remember who said it either. You remember Marge? He drove that green car. What did Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top and Brian May of Queen... You know, ironically, who has the ability to respond to this question is my wife, after having worked on two exhibits at the Henry Ford called Rockstars, Cars, and Guitars.
Wow.
And having to get and calling up like Brian May and Billy Gibbons like at home or whatever and making the arrangements bring their guitars in because it was Rockstars's... As in the possessive, cars and guitars. So their guitar and their guitar was on display. Kind of cool.
It was the same guitar owned by,
It's the way that they play them.
And it wasn't that they're upside down or...
Or strummed or...
Yeah, the way they're strummed.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? What's different about the way they're strummed? Not with
a pick. They don't use picks. They both use...
Fingernails?
No.
A nickel?
They use coins. That's what it says here. Oh, okay. Very well known for using coins. Gibbon uses a Mexican peso and May uses a sixpence.
I did say they played pickless earlier.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
That's okay. I would not have gotten to the...
They play with pickles?
Pickles.
Pickles is a fun word. What do these guitarists have in common that's even more unusual for an electric guitarist? Robbie Keeger of The Doors and Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits.
Not the left-handed thing.
Not the left-handed
blue.
Thing.
Oh.
Not upside down.
You may want to repeat what you already said.
Blue?
Upside down?
No.
They play with pickles?
They play pickles. They play with their fingertips. That's very rare for electric guitars, is what it says.
Huh.
Bonus fun fact, all four of these rock guitarists have another thing in common. As of this writing, they are all still...
Alive.
Alive, yeah. I love how you got that one real easy.
As of this writing.
Yes, and that's a good way to put it, because the way musicians go,
Yeah, let's not curse anybody. I don't want to be prophetic right about now.
You know, the two words the Rolling Stones have feared the longest time. Natural causes.
Oh, my gosh. Pasties are baked savory pastries that are Cornish in origin, but very popular in the great state of Michigan, where Finnish immigrants adopted them as a great portable food to take along into the copper mines of the Upper Peninsula. To officially be a pasty, what four ingredients must be present inside the meat pie?
Hops, barley, water, and yeast?
Nope. Meat is so far what we've got.
Carrots?
Usually beef. You know, carrots are not on the
potato.
List.
Potato.
Onions.
Potato. Onion. Yes.
And one more.
Pepper.
Most important of all, we wouldn't have had carrots. Carrots grow in Michigan, but not the same way they grow in other states. We had a lot of what? Always seemed to be mentioned when I was growing up on Sesame Street because I think they thought it was a funny-sounding vegetable. But it is in the
rutabagas.
Carrot family. Yeah, rutabagas, yes.
Nice.
Rutabagas.
It is a funny-sounding
rutabagas.
Vegetable.
Rutabagas.
Wow.
Which basically are just root vegetables that have no taste whatsoever. Chock full of sugar.
Oh,
meat,
are they?
Potato, onion,
how come they have
rutabaga.
No flavor?
Well, you know, it's a different kind of sugar.
Oh, the bad kind.
Dun, dun. Fructose. Now I'm hungry, Nat says. Speaking of food Michigan is famous for, a Coney Island hot dog, or Coney, or if you don't mind me embellishing, Nat, the folks from Ontario call it hot dogs Michigans.
Well, Plattsburgh, New York, they just call them Michigans.
Yeah, they just call them Michigans.
Yeah.
Well, they're very, really, really close to the Canadian border.
That's true. They're very close to Montreal. Yeah.
Has onions, mustard, and meat sauce. Now, we know that it's not actually chili because it's missing a very important ingredient.
Beans.
Beans. There is no beans on a Coney dog.
The magic fruit.
We need to have a natural casing hot dog to make it complete. There are some, Nat says, who believe that to be a true Coney, the meat sauce must be made with what meat?
Veal.
No. Beef.
What kind of beef?
Kosher.
Nope. It is a cut of beef, to put it lightly. The only... This is the best
snouts,
clue
hooves,
I can give
tails.
You. The only local restaurant I know... I don't know. Maybe they'll send us Coney's when we say this.
We should.
National Coney Island brags particularly that they have true Coney's, so the chili beef must be made from... Oh, think about it while you take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
That was good for the self-esteem.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Our next set of questions comes from Keith Hedrick of Orange, California.
Yes.
Yes, how about that? And he says, I have enclosed 10 quotes. You need to figure
out
who said it. Yeah, right.
Keep hoping.
We'll take it, love.
You were working on your taxes, weren't you?
You need 6 out of 10 correct in order to win. Okay.
Six? This guy has low standards.
Are you serious?
That's good.
That's why he writes to us.
He's a realist.
Who said? I have taken more out of alcohol than alcohol has taken out of me.
Joel Coward.
No, it's British.
Oh.
But it's a statesman.
Churchill.
That's right.
Churchill was at a party one night, and this woman came up to him. You know that story?
That story.
Yes,
but tell her.
Yeah.
Please say.
Tell her. Oh, and she was being obnoxious, story. And she said, you know, Mr. Churchill, you're drunk. And he said, yes, madam, that's true, and you're ugly. But in the morning, I shall be sober, and you will still be ugly.
This wasn't Queen Elizabeth, was it?
he didn't know who it was.
And we're back with some great questions from Nat Pike of Livonia, Michigan. Totally cool, Nat. We're hungry too, but we're trying to figure out to be a true, some people say, to be a true Coney Island, your meat sauce, or chili as some people call it, even though it doesn't have beans, must be made from what cut of beef?
Sirloin.
Not sirloin.
Purloined.
Not purloined.
Oh.
Not skirt steak. Not butt. Which, by the way, is shoulder.
Oh, okay, good.
You know what has liver. To be made from a cow's heart to be
cow's
true?
Heart?
Beef heart.
Good protein. Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that better than liver?
Comparable. I think it has to do with the granulation of the meat. You've seen before how someone just makes chili and puts it on a hot dog. You can get some pretty big chunks of beef, like if you get it from a steak. The beef heart comes into these small granules and it sort of
is
evens
that what
out.
Taco Bell uses? They have the finest ground yes, beef I've do. Ever seen.
Or shoe or whatever
and
it is.
Filler.
Weren't they accused of making it horse filler. Or something? Oh my.
Now I know.
They sift
I know
it.
Way too much about Taco Bell now that my boss's son is a manager at one. It's there's some
I have been escaping this information.
Things going
they had
on.
The best public relations crew
yes, they
a
do.
Couple years ago.
Or
do you
shall
remember
I
what
say
they
this
did
information
with
has
the Doritos
me?
Taco?
No, it was before that where somebody went online and they did this whole expose on how it's really like 37% filler, so you shouldn't call it beef.
Oh, no.
What's the filler?
And water.
Their response was, free tacos for everybody.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
We know.
Who doesn't like
I
free
find
tacos.
Taco Bell delicious.
Cool. Do you?
Unbelievable.
I would eat it right now. If it's sitting on the table, I would eat one. A burrito
Let's
supreme.
Go.
Mm.
There we go.
Nachos Bel Grande right about now.
Mm, see?
Oh.
Yeah, isn't it good?
Ooh. Let's go.
We really should advertise for more local businesses, even if they're local. Yeah.
London Chop House, Roast. Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. What else do you guys want to go eat? Do you want to all want
Mexican
to go to
town?
The Whitney?
Sure.
Yeah.
Champagne bottles have an indentation on the bottom, among other things, makes the bottle hold less volume than it may appear to hold. This is a very fine packaging motif. What is the name of that indentation?
Punt.
Yes, it is a punt. The beer bottle has one, doesn't it?
No.
It doesn't?
No, it does not.
No.
And are those
the
breakaway?
Beer bottle,
well, it's not.
Are those breakaway
pronounced.
Bases like on solvent bottles?
Well, we see this all the time.
Yeah.
Usually, if Beth were here with her vitamin water, I'd say the punt on those water bottles is like gigantic. It's like mm-hmm. almost 5 or 6 centimeters. It's to save volume, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the beer bottles don't punt. They go for it on fourth.
Yeah, they usually do. Right. For the record, Nat says a kick is also an acceptable answer. The only question is how many points it's going to be worth.
Yeah.
What is the best-selling personal computer of all time? In production from 1982 to 1994, it sold 16 million units. There isn't a single computer company that could boast those numbers.
To 1994?
1982 to 1994.
Gateway?
IBM? It's got to be like Amiga, a Commodore.
It's the Commodore 64.
Commodore 64. Yes.
Although the company reportedly attempted to discontinue it more than once in favor of more expensive computers such as the Commodore 128 and the Amiga, demand for the 64 remained strong into the early 90s. That is fascinating to me.
Do you guys remember that one player for the Red Wings, Mike Commodore?
I guess.
He played for like a season and a half or something like that, and he demanded number 64.
Number 64,
oh my gosh,
I would have too.
Number 64.
Yeah, if you got the name, might as well use it. So.
I love it.
Isn't that funny? My cell phone probably has a gazillion times more processing power than one of those things.
It's amazing.
It probably.
Really absolutely amazing. What do the following people have in common? Ted Raimi, James J. O'Sullivan, Bill Young, Bill Bonds, Elmore Leonard.
They're all Detroit writers.
Thomas Brennan.
They're all graduates of this fine university.
And Keegan-Michael Key. They are all graduates of the University Woo-hoo! Of Detroit or the University of Detroit Mercy. That is absolutely true.
Excellent. Who are some of the other ones?
Keegan-Michael Key is comedy team Key and Peele on Comedy mm-hmm. Central.
They're making a new movie out of their substitute teacher sketch now, too.
That's what I hear. Ted Raimi is a very well-known actor whose brother Sam Raimi directed all the Spider-Man and Evil Dead movies.
Yes.
James J. O'Sullivan is president and CEO of Mazda.
Huh.
Bill Young is CEO of Absopure and Plastipak, which is why we have Absopure water on campus. Detroit anchorman Bill Bonds just passed away in the last few months.
God rest his soul and his toupee.
Elmore Leonard also passed away fairly recently.
Yeah, last year.
And sadly, his archives are going to a large university in the South.
Sadly, his show Justified is going to be coming to an end soon.
Yeah. And, I love that show. Very well done show, too.
Yeah,
right?
I love that show.
Tom Brennan is founder of Cooley Law School, so that covers, he says, you better have gotten that one. You're absolutely right, Nat. He ends his question set with Fiend. The end. Absolutely.
Nice.
Okay. Uh-oh. Let's see what we got cooking here. Oh, I think that's another Jason special. Please
don't ask my questions while I'm here. That would be unfair.
I've got to find a different way to do that. I apologize.
You know, we could do it if we swap seats and I give you guys the clues and you do the answers.
I'm afraid that without the constant act of talking, I might fall asleep at this point.
My questions still are not that bad.
No. It has
still
to do
recovering
with
from
Eastern
your,
time zone.
Still recovering from your trip.
Every single time I get jet lag, it's exactly the same. If you guys tell me this is normal, then I will not feel special anymore. But
oh, it's not normal.
Day one, I'm good as gold and everything works. Day two is holy hell.
Where'd you go? Denver?
Denver. It's two time zones over. It's not a big deal. But we had to get up very, very early and stay out very, very late almost every night. So,
but now I have a question for you guys. When you guys go west, we don't feel it. But coming back east, I always feel it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I totally agree.
Why is that?
Well, we're better able to judge like time going in the other direction. We had dinner at a relative Eastern 11:30 the other night, and it's like 2 days in, and I didn't feel a single thing.
See, I'm thinking like when I went to China, which is 12 hours.
Holy smokes.
Difference. And wow. I'm like,
but did you go east or west?
We went over the North Pole.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So I'm like thinking, how, going over, not a problem. Coming back.
Did you see Santa? Yeah.
I think we bumped into him.
All right.
Got it.
So, but yeah, same thing.
Very good. Well, if someone wants to call in with some questions about time zones, call in or write in. Yeah. That'd be great. Dear Profs, I was shocked at how quickly my questions about the Pontiac Silverdome managed to get on the show, but what I've really been kicking myself over is asking for a passing grade of 5 out of 10. Now that I've seen those sweet, sweet coffee mugs that are being awarded to those who stump the panel, I've compiled 10 new questions, which I hope will uncover fun and interesting facts, yet maybe slightly more difficult. I'm bumping the passing score to 80% because, frankly, I'm working for a mug here. And I want to be able to cross work to
beat
me.
What a mug.
Yeah, it's Andrew Wellman of Gulfport, Florida. Ooh, he's giving his Juris Doctor number from getting his JD at the Florida Bar in 2013. That's fantastic.
Nice. Yes. Awesome.
Lawyers write good questions. Let's see how it goes here.
At least they're not grading them.
Yeah, well, The Cathedral Church of the Blessed Virgin Mary of Lincoln, located in the United Kingdom city of Lincoln, owns one of four surviving copies of the Magna Carta, the Great Charter of the Liberties, signed by King John of England on 15 June 1215. During World War II, this priceless document was stored for safekeeping not in the UK, but inside the United States Bullion Depository at Fort Knox in Kentucky. Kendra's home state. Why?
They thought ISIS was going to come destroy it?
No. But that does...
climate control or well-fortified,
sort of.
Obviously.
Let's say that the obvious answer is that they wanted to protect it
Security.
During the war. But
Security.
Why Fort Knox?
Because it's on military installation, obviously.
Nope.
Because Knoxville was named after King John, who signed the Magna Carta?
Nope.
I made that up.
Why? No ideas,
Fort Knox. What else unique about Fort Knox? I mean, climate control, military, gold.
Tell me the question again.
Sure. So why during World War II was the priceless document, one of the copies of the Magna Carta, stored for safekeeping not in the UK, but in the United States Bullion Depository at Fort Knox, Kentucky?
Was it like a deposit?
That makes sense, actually. We're talking about it like it's a bank, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it was already there for the 1939 New York World's Fair, is the idea.
Wow.
It only made sense.
They just went ahead and kept it there.
They just
That's
sort of
a
kept
great
it.
Answer. Yes.
Where was the, where is the World's Fair?
It says it was in New York, which opened on April 30th the year. When Britain entered World War II, of course, they entered quite a bit earlier than we did, the decision was made to keep the copy over in the States.
I see.
They kept it, by the way, until 1947. Seems like we're trying to get away with something. Let's modify some words and send it back in green crayon. It'll crack them up. Following the retirement of Wayne Gretzky, the National Hockey League permanently retired his uniform number 99 on a league-wide basis. Currently, the only other uniform numbers permanently retired by the NHL are 0 and 00. The last player to wear either of those numbers was Martin Biron, who wore 00 for 3 games with the Buffalo Sabres during the 96 season. Why did the NHL make a rule specifically banning 0 and 00?
That's a great question.
Yeah. It's a good question.
I have
it's
no idea.
It's an even better response. In baseball, everybody is retired 42 for Jackie Robinson, right?
So, I thought that was for Mariano Rivera.
Oh, 40-something. So we have 99, 0, and 00 are not allowed ever again to be used for a player in the NHL.
Was it for somebody who wore it before?
No, something a little more logistic.
The score, what, the box score? Typing in a 0 won't show up?
Yeah, basically, it started a bug in their statistical software. I think that's really great.
That's awesome.
It engendered Section 3, Rule 9.2, which is... No joke, because he's got a lift here. No fractions. No decimals.
No fractions.
No three-digit numerals.
You are 3.14.
Sounds like a Y2K kind of thing.
Well, this guy who does some really, really cool statistics, and I'm never going to remember his name, but he actually does some drawing too, Dave. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a Brit that got enamored in his middle age with American baseball and decided to start getting into statistics and drawing pictures and things. He has predicted the year at which the Yankees will run out of double-digit numbers for their uniforms to wear because they retire about one a year.
Yeah.
And so he claims that before 2080, they will have to go to 100 for at least one player. I think it's great because when they retire them at Yankee Stadium, they're not allowed to wear them again.
Yeah. And then do you remember, was it the Cardinals? They sent, they sent a little person up to the plate, remember?
Absolutely.
And was it one-third or his number?
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I was on the back of his jersey, one-third, because...
He was so short.
Yeah.
He was like a kid.
The strike zone.
So the strike zone was so small.
Right. Well, I have to bring up as well, because I know Professor Chow and I have chatted before about Futurama, that in their version of future baseball in
Blurn's
the year 3000, it's Blurn's ball. All the players have imaginary numbers, pi, the square roots of things on the back of the jerseys. A joke that, you know, you would catch if you were paying attention, but not if you weren't. Since its premiere broadcast in 1975, Saturday Night Live has reportedly featured 141 different cast members. Of these 141, 9 have been nominated for Academy Awards in various categories, but none of them, for the record, have yet taken home the statue. Of these 9 Saturday Night Live cast members, 8 of them were nominated after leaving the show. Only one was nominated for an Oscar before being hired on the cast. Who was it?
No.
You guys are going to have to wait weeks
killing me.
To find out killing the answer me. To that one. It's a very finely crafted question, but I'm afraid it's time for us to say goodbye, Professor Roach.
Goodbye.
Professor Evans.
Bye. I'll be in suspense for a while.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor, or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM, or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.